Despite the ongoing pandemic, sky watching and stargazing is still one of the safely distanced things we can do. This is Lisa Berry, and there are a few things coming up that we wanted to share, so we're delighted to be joined by Eastern Michigan University professor and director of the Scherzer Observatory, Norbert Vance. How you doing?
Hello.
So what's coming up? We got a meteor shower and a supermoon.
The so-called pink moon is taking place on Monday, the 26th of April. And that comes historically from, it's coincidentally rising with the arrival of the pink phlox flowers, thus the name. But I got a better working theory.
Okay.
It involves a little celestial geometry. In the summer months, the moon rides really low in the south, sort of a orangish-red color when it's full. And in the winter, it rides really far north, sort of high up in the sky and silvery white. And what colors do you get when you get reddish and whitish mixed together?
Pink. My favorite color.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes. And so my working theory is that the moon isn't quite as far south as it can get, and it's certainly not as far north. It's sort of in between. When you mix the two, you get pink. And let's cross our fingers that when the moon rises on the 26th, it has sort of that pinkish glow to it.
Have you ever seen that before?
No.
Oh.
Well, maybe I have, but I don't really pay attention to those kinds of little details, perhaps, as much as I should. But it's my theory, and I'm going with it.
Well, I call myself a pink person, and I'm sort of obsessed with the moon, so I'm going to be more excited about this.
Yeah. Well, it's also called a supermoon, too,
right.
Which is a sort of a novel term. I don't see it in the astronomy textbooks, but the moon will be a little closer than it usually is coinciding with that full moon, so it's slightly bigger if you were to physically measure it, yes, but visually, eh.
I know you purist astronomers are not into the term super moon, but if you had to define it, what would you say?
It's when the moon appears closest to the Earth, and the percentages are so small, you really have to go out of your way to notice the difference between the two. Between that and a moon that occurs when it's at what's called apogee, when it's farthest from the Earth.
It's a pink supermoon, so we have to have something to be excited about. So we'll just...
Oh, yeah.
Fingers crossed, right?
Plus, it's springtime. Who can beat that?
Yeah, right. And it's our first meteor shower of the year. Tell us about that.
Well, the first notable meteor shower, this one's called the Lyrids, and they coincide with the constellation of Lyra, which happens to have the bright star Vega, a nice summer star, which if you look off to the northeast around midnight or so, you can see it twinkling low in the northeast. And that's where the meteors seem to come from. In this case, not all that many. And you add a bright moon and some haziness and clouds, springtime clouds, and your chances of seeing meteors are not the best. They don't come close to the summertime Perseids that we always like to talk about. But they'll be out there.
And it's something to look for and be excited about, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's surprising that with, you know, everybody home and so forth, astronomy has taken on an additional interest. The sale of telescopes has gone crazy. It's hard to get one.
Well, like I said at the beginning of this, it was stargazing and skywatching is one of the few safe, socially distanced things we can do. So that should make you happy as a professor along these lines.
Oh, yeah. I just wish we could have the observatory and planetarium open to sort of shore up all this excitement. But it's sort of a do-it-yourself kind of thing these days.
And what time should we look for the meteors, and where in the sky should we be looking to try to find them?
For the meteors, you want to look towards the northeast, and the best times are around midnight. And who isn't up around midnight these days?
Right. Are you going to look for them?
Yeah, probably in casual. I'm not going out of my way, but I always like to keep an eye to the sky, so odds are we'll pick one out. They're not going to be plentiful, but enough that you might catch one more than the usual evening.
And what do we have to look forward to this coming year?
It's actually going to be fairly quiet, but I'm looking forward to the return of Jupiter and Saturn to the southeast sky by midsummer. It's always pretty to see those two majestic worlds in the telescopes and just casually look up and see them in the sky.
Has anything big changed up there while we're all down here dealing with a pandemic?
Nothing that I can note other than the Perseverance lander, which is sending back those beautiful images of Mars.
And where can we find those?
You find them online. Usually the NASA sites will that, but all you have to do is Google Perseverance, and you'll get a boatload of images coming back. And the resolution and the imagery is absolutely beautiful.
As an astronomer at Eastern Michigan University, have you learned anything from those photos yet?
We're still gathering information. What's remarkable is that it's in a very choice landing spot for looking for evidence of life. And, too, they've got the little helicopter on board that's about to make its test flight here. And we'll hopefully see some more intriguing images as the first flight above the surface of Mars by this vehicle takes place.
Norbert Vance, professor and director of the Scherzer Observatory at Eastern Michigan University. Always good connecting with you.
Well, thank you for calling.